Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, when the going gets tougher. And our text today is Matthew 2, 13 to 15. Very short, but it's a Christmas story. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And when I talk about they, we're talking about the wise men. The angel says to Joseph, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for this child to kill him. You know, the night that the baby was born turned out to be wonderful. Joseph and Mary almost forgot that it had happened in a stable. There was so much attention and the visitors, the angels and the shepherds, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Oh, it was a beautiful night. But that party didn't last long. There was the necessary adjustment to the different life, the life at home. A new mouth to feed, Mary had to figure out how to handle chores as well as take care of a baby, food preparation, cleaning, taking care of the animals, while Joseph worked to keep his carpentry business to make sure that it was going strong. According to the Gospel of Matthew, Mary and Joseph lived in Bethlehem. While the text gives us no specifics, history tells us that life was tough for working-class Jews living in first-century Palestine. So the celebration of the birth of Jesus was probably not a long-lived celebration. Now, there's no text to confirm this, but you can just imagine. Then, all of a sudden, a hard life gets harder. Right after the Magi's visit, right after the wise men came, in the middle of the night, Joseph has a dream. An angel warns him in this dream, get up, he says, take that child and his mother and escape to Egypt, or the baby would be killed. King Herod has decided to get rid of the one he considers his primary competition. Just when this family thinks they can settle back into a certain amount of comfort, at least in the things that they know and the place that they call home, everything goes wrong. The jubilation of a new life and a newborn child becomes overshadowed by terror and the threat of death. Now, Matthew simply doesn't want us to linger on the wonder of the nativity scene. He wants us to know as soon as Jesus is born, trouble comes. The going gets tough. Oh, if we could only stay in that spectacular beauty of the starry night where the angels sing and the glory of the Lord shines all around. But Matthew reminds us we can only bask in that glow for a short time. The real power of this story is not at the site where the visitors gather and the gifts are laid out, even though that's our favorite scene of the season. The real power of this story is back on the road where the going gets tough. That's where God wants us to turn our attention. That's why Jesus came, to be with us on the road when the going gets tough. You know, people who are not believers often complain that we are living in a fantasy world as believers in Jesus Christ, because, you know, it's just a way to kind of medicate ourselves with beautiful language and a possibility of some pie in the sky. But I always want to respond and say the Christian journey is a tough journey. There's nothing easy about our journey. Evil, suffering, and struggle are inevitable parts of life, but they are much more a part of this Christian journey. We cannot avoid them. Jesus said there will be trouble, and there is no money, no power, no plan that can save us from tough going. I, I will always remember the story I read about a bright, young, wonderful girl who was diagnosed with cancer right after college, just at that point when she was about to take on life. And she's spent all this time in and out of hospitals when she should have been, you know, going for her career and falling in love. And finally, the cancer goes into remission, and she meets a wonderful man. And she thinks, well, this is it. Now life is going to get easier. And then the cancer comes back and is even worse than the first time. And it would seem that one time would be enough. But sometimes the going gets tougher. What are we to hold on to when the going gets tougher? Now, anybody listening to me right now can probably share a story about struggle that didn't get easier but got harder. Endless struggle, where one major bout of problems is followed by another. And if you have to ask yourself, how long am I going to hold on? When will I get a break? You know that you are suffering. And I think that might have been going on in the minds of Mary and Joseph. That might have been what they were thinking about after this wondrous birth of Jesus Christ. Because this is the point when you have to ask yourself, well, wait a minute, Jesus' birth was a transformation of the world. This was changing everything. Why didn't God miraculously rescue them right after the child is born and take them to some better place? Why not whip out one of those big miracles? Why would they have to, soon as they had the baby, not a year or two later, have to flee to another country? What's God doing here? I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener-supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on Giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on Giving. Thank you. God bless you. We're talking about how God acts in our lives when we are suffering. And we look at Mary and Joseph and how as soon as this child is born, they had to get up and go flee because Herod was chasing them, threatening to kill all the babies. But that's why we have to understand why Jesus came. We think, well, why would they have to suffer? And the whole world has just changed with the birth of the Christ child? Well, if Jesus came only to perform miracles, then this would have been a great moment to pull off a real big miracle. If he came only to teach the importance of moral living, then God might have given Joseph some way to take a courageous stand against Herod, and maybe Joseph would have won immediately. If Jesus came only to wipe out evil and wrongdoing, he could have done that with the wave of one baby hand. But you see, that's not why Jesus came. Those are bits and pieces of why Jesus came, but that's not the total thing. We tend to think of the cross as the introduction of suffering into Jesus' life, but in truth, this baby was exposed to suffering. Jesus was exposed to suffering from the very beginning. So the big question, why does God allow evil in the world? Was God surprised by Herod's actions? Well, I think that suffering is just a part of the territory. I remember when Nick was first at NYU studying theater, and his professor in the Shakespearean course told him that he was very talented. But he said, you know what, Nick? One thing you lack, you've lived a good life. And to really understand the messages of some of these plays and some of these poems and some of what these wonderful writers are saying, you have to bleed. You have to bleed. If I didn't know how bad the world was, I wouldn't know how good God is. If I was never exposed to evil, I wouldn't understand God's omnipotence. If I was not a sinner, I'd have no idea about the power of God's grace. Jesus did come to save us from our sins and to teach us a moral life and to do all the things I talked about. But Hebrews 5:8, son that he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. This is part of the mystery of Jesus' total divinity and his total humanity. In order to make the full sacrifice on our behalf, Jesus had to make the full commitment. God didn't just tell us he understood how we were living as humans. He showed us through Jesus Christ's humanity, a life that had to be taken care of, a life that bore pain, a body that shed blood. From the very beginning, Jesus showed us what God told us. And this is what we mean when we say God condescended. When we say someone is condescending, we usually mean they're looking down on us because they think they're better. But God condescends not to remind us of our smallness. God condescends to be with us. The God who created us chooses to be with his creation, to bless us in the flesh and in the spirit. The God who is without sin becomes sin in order to save us. The God who is with infinite knowledge, awareness, understanding, and power assures us that he knows what we go through. So God is not only in charge of evil, he's not only allowing evil, God suffers evil through Jesus Christ. Condescension, God made flesh. This is what Paul meant when he said, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave born as a human being to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The distance between Bethlehem and the border of Egypt was 75 miles, a desolate, barren region. More than likely, Joseph and Mary joined a caravan on the way to Egypt as they escaped Herod's soldiers. But there's no biblical record of the journey. You can still assume it was treacherous, not something that Joseph and Mary wanted to tackle alone. God placed baby Jesus in the hands of Mary and Joseph not to end their suffering, but to let them experience struggle in context of God's amazing love. They had to struggle, and they suffered. The going was tough, and the tougher the going, the more we cling to God. God descended to humanity, susceptible to attack and harm, in need of support and protection, at risk. And this is the most wonderful part of the Christmas story. God is with us. Knowing that God is with us, we can trust God to get us through. I want to talk to you more about this notion of struggle and vulnerability. So join me tomorrow. Thanks for joining me today. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign.